Warning, the following podcast is loosely based on fact. It has in no way been vetted, and the hosts rely primarily on the honor system and looks of disappointment to get their guests to be truthful. The stories and content in this podcast do not reflect the beliefs or ideals of its hosts or anyone necessarily associated with it or them. This podcast and the material within is meant for comedy. We do not condone or endorse crime or criminal activity, nor support the people who engage in said activity. Any discomfort or damage caused by the disclosure of this content is not intentional, and may God have mercy on our souls.
True criminals!
Welcome to the show. I'm Eric.
I'm Rachel.
And this is True Criminals, a podcast where we talk to regular people about the crimes they have committed. So we have a guest coming up here in a bit. What did he go with? He chose a name. He went with Punch Out. He starts off with Contra and then he changed it to Punch Out.
Sure.
So yeah, he changed his name, but I believe we're going with Punch Out. Yeah, he was a fun guest. First time we interviewed somebody in person.
Yeah, we let a criminal in our house.
We let a criminal. Yeah, right there.
Now he can find us.
He can find us. And he definitely was in some sort of like confrontations. He had a piece of metal in his eye. He's out there fighting everybody. Busting his eye socket and whatnot, so we know he's not afraid to throw down. But anyways, yeah, that will come up here in just a minute. This is the first episode back in a while, back in October. Yeah, things just went kind of crazy for me, so I haven't been, didn't have anything going on. Plus, Scotty, like, in the wintertime, or right there toward the holiday season, he gets really booked up with a lot of toy making, because he's a toy maker. And so, yeah. Just went on hiatus for a while. We'll probably do some more episodes coming up. But we also got tied up a lot with other projects. We'll tell you more about those in the future. But, you know, long story short, you know, we have a script that Scott wrote that's actually being kind of shopped around. It's kind of going through some hands right now. And there's a chance that something could come from that. So, some of the other projects, we've kind of looked into some of these other things, and so they kind of slowed us up, as well as, you know, some personal stuff coming up. So a little hiatus, but still have new episodes coming out. I already, you know, I buy our what the hell?
Yeah, she's playing.
Cats are going nuts in here.
She's zooming.
We're all zooming.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, we're not on Zoom. We're right here in front of each other. Yeah. We're just audacity-ing. But yeah, so that was it. You know, 2022's over. Anything crazy you remember in particular? Have you committed any crimes since the last time you recorded?
I still speed when I can.
Nothing crazy other than that. Year 2022 is over. Obviously, a bunch of crazy shit there, but I guess we don't need to recap it. Everybody else probably already has. Nothing else going on. If I can think of any other crimes, I will tell you when we come back. So here is our guest, either Contra or Punch Out. Check, 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 check. Okay. You got it. Okay.
Just make up a name for me.
All right. So, you've listened to the show. You know what we talk about.
Right.
So, I assume you've committed crimes. Have you ever been arrested?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How many times have you been arrested?
So, weird story behind that, but I've been arrested about 8 times.
Oh.
The only real time I was arrested was in 2008. I got a DWI. Funny story, it was the cops' first night of on-the-job training. The videotape showed that the other officer that was training him was basically insisting that he find out that I smell like alcohol. He left my blood vial in the trunk of his car for 6 months, so My blood alcohol level was 0.42, which would obviously make you dead. But I still got convicted. But the judge, it took 4 years to go to trial. The judge took leniency on me and only charged me like $200. But
did it take 4 years because you kept kicking it down the road? Like,
it took 4 years because the state wasn't ready for the trial itself.
Wow. And so much for a speedy trial.
Oh, it was ridiculous. I had to go to the county courthouse once a month and check in just so they could tell me I could leave.
Well, this was at least in, like, I assume the area you lived in. It wasn't a case you having to go to another state every 6 months for...
No, it was, you know, 20, 30 minutes, which in Texas is nothing, so...
Did it mess with your job any? Were you like... Because I know people who have, like... lost their jobs because they had to go to court cases and fight their shit.
No, it was in terms of in the industry I work in, that was about the least someone could have done, and you know, so people kept their jobs. Everybody knew it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, we had one friend. I think he was on. Yeah, he talked about this on the show. He had to eventually just plead guilty to something that he completely didn't do.
Absolutely didn't do. Like, he, like, had a broken leg at the time in a cast, and, like, they had footage of someone not in a cast and not with a broken leg doing something.
See,
and they were still like, no, we 100% know it was you.
And it was costing him so much in, like, time off work and everything to, like, fight it that he just had to plead guilty eventually.
See, that's fucked up, and that's what's wrong with our judicial system completely.
He had a doctor, like, he had his doctor, like, write a note saying, like, I know for a fact his cast was on his leg at this time because I put it on this date and I took it off on this date. And they were still like, no.
That's fucking ridiculous. Yeah, mine just got kicked down the road and then had a breathalyzer on my car for 13 months. And so when you have a breathalyzer, you know, you have to breathe into it to start your car.
Yeah.
And then it goes off at random while you're driving, and it's usually about 15 minutes later, and then it's kind of randomized. You know, it could be every minute. And then, obviously, if you put your car in park, it'll make you do it again. So I was eating a piece of pizza in my car, and I was on my way to work in the morning. Yes, I eat pizza for breakfast.
No, I probably will tomorrow morning because that's what our kids had for dinner tonight.
It's the breakfast of champions. Do you eat it cold or hot?
Either way, it just depends on my mood, I guess. Sometimes I warm it, sometimes I don't.
So if you have a breathalyzer on your car, don't warm it up.
Oh.
So I'm driving. My commute was probably 45 minutes at the time. So I'm driving, eating the pizza, and I blow to where it gives me a warning, which is... you're not drunk, but you have alcohol in your system. It didn't stop my car. It didn't turn my car off, so I kept driving. I don't know. 5 minutes later, went off again. Same thing. Because if you blow positive, it goes off more often. And then after that, it was fine. Nothing there, and then, you know, multiple times.
Is that like, I mean, did you like Google that later to find out that pizza, hot pizza will make you blow?
The yeast in pizza will make the alcohol, so will toothpaste, mouthwash. So it's really kind of a pain in the ass. But the fact that I blew negative and then all of a sudden blew positive, then blew negative again, my probation officer still threw me in weekend jail.
Oh my god.
I had to go to weekend jail for two separate weekends, which did kind of mess with my work schedule because my job required me to travel and I had to be home to go to jail. And then that was a whole nother fiasco when I didn't know what I was doing. So I just showed up at the jail and was like, hey, I'm here for the weekend jail. So they threw me in the general holding tank. And a guy literally came in for straight-up murder, and they just threw him in with everybody else. And I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in here, because I'd heard weekend jail's kind of a cakewalk. You just sleep the whole time. And so then they moved me, but they put me in the violent offender cell, which I immediately got in a fight. But the guy pushed me into the button on the wall, the emergency button, so they pulled me out of there. And that was finally where I was supposed to be, which... is basically you get a PlayStation, a flat screen TV, it's not bad at all.
I thought a week in jail.
Damn, yeah, like, so, okay, so when I was a case manager, I had a client who his ID was about to expire, and he was, like, really terrified to go renew it because he had a warrant in Collin County. And so I was like, okay, well, you have to renew your ID, so, like, we have to get this figured out. So I reached out to Collin County, and I was like, and his, it was for a DUI. And what had happened was he had gotten a DUI, and he had set it up on payments. He had made, like, the first two payments, but then he was drunk again in his car, totaled his car, injured himself, was in the hospital for, like, a month, lost his job, right? So then he couldn't keep making those payments. So that's when the warrant went out. So I reached out to Collin County, and I'm like, hey, how can we settle this? Because we, like, he has no income. He's, you know, in... He's in a housing program. He pays right. rent. He's no income. Like, we've got to get this sorted, though. And so they told me, they were like, well, hey, Collin County doesn't arrest. If you come into the jail or come into the courthouse to try to sort out your warrants, we don't arrest.
Yeah, bullshit.
They didn't.
Okay.
But so, which it was really hard for me to convince him of this, because, yeah, to try to convince a 60-something-year-old black man with a warrant that you can go into a Collin County courthouse.
Right.
Yeah. So, but he trusts me. So we got him down there, and we got him, and he'd spent two nights in jail when he had gotten the DUI. They put him in jail for two nights. And then again, he had made like $200-something payments, but he had like $600-something outstanding that he had never paid on it. So that was their solution. They were like, well, what if we give you week in jail? But again, this is in McKinney. I drove this man from Dallas to McKinney.
Which is like an hour on a good day.
Yeah. And so I told them, and I'm like, and they're like, you just have to check in on Friday and you can check out on Monday morning. And I'm like, okay, except he doesn't have a car. He's no income. Buses don't go to McKinney.
Right.
So
even though the biggest jail in Collin County is the McKinney jail.
Yeah.
There's no public transportation over there. Yeah.
Transportation. Yeah. So I'm like, he can't get to and from McKinney every weekend. Like, I'm like, this can't happen. And so then the prosecutor, like, looks at us both for a minute, and then she goes, it sounds to me like you've really turned your life around. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, he has. And he had. He had actually been sober since he got into housing, which by this point had been, like, I think about 2 years. So he really, and he was literally just a model client in terms of, like, housing, you know, really great guy.
Do they drug test him while they're in there?
No. It's housing first. You can do all the drugs you want.
Oh, okay. But he was sober.
I mean, I happen to know, like, anecdotally, okay, that he wasn't sober. Drugs, he did not do any drugs. He never had a drug problem. I happen to know anecdotally that he didn't drink. But again, it's housing first, so as long as your drinking isn't threatening your housing, so as long as it's not causing issues with your neighbors, your landlord, that kind of thing, like, then it's fine. It's not an issue. And his, whatever amount he was drinking, that I, like, it was not causing any issues, he was staying inside his own apartment and doing it, so that's perfectly fine. You can do that all day. But, so, yeah, so we were like, yeah, no, like, and I was trying to tell him, I was like, no, he's great, like, he's totally turned his life around. And so she just was like, okay, how about time served? And we were like, thank you fucking Jesus. And so then she's like, okay, but now you owe all these court costs, so now you have to go before the judge and talk to him. And so we, like...
And this is a guy that couldn't afford his warrants in the first place.
Right.
So now they want to negotiate.
We need over $500 in court costs. So we go before the judge, and the judge was like, well, what's your reason for not being able to pay these court costs? And so I was like, I can actually give you several reasons. And the judge was like, why are you here? That's, like, literally what he said to me. And I was like, well, I'm his housing case manager. He's like, his what? And I'm like, he... is in a housing program for formerly homeless people. And the judge is like, so he's homeless. And I was like, essentially. And the judge is like, waved.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. And so it was like, oh, okay, thank God.
Yeah, I don't know what the fines are normally for a DWI in Texas, but like I said, with all the stuff that happened with mine, so like they went and drew my blood. I told them no, they got a warrant for it. Yeah. But the cop was so new, when I left the hospital, he forgot to put my handcuffs back on me. Mm. So I put them on myself to be nice. God. And he, you know, loosened them because I put them on too tight after I pointed out the fact that he forgot to put my handcuffs on. And we had the videotape of that and everything. And my jury actually deliberated for 2 days on a simple DWI. And it got to be a Friday afternoon. And I could basically tell, because in the justice system, you get to pick, you can eliminate people out of the jury pool. And each side gets a certain number of eliminations and a certain number of people you want. You know, so it tells you, you know, their name, how old they are, and their religion. So I was like, I want every atheist on this jury.
Whoa, you know, so I was on a jury, and it does ask religion. I didn't realize that was, like, information that, like, okay.
You get name, age, I think education, and religion around there. And
you know, we want no Mormons. We want
to... No, I didn't want no Mormons, no Baptists.
No Mormons, yeah. No Muslims.
Right. So, you know, and then you get to ask them. You get to voir dire them, as it's called. You get to ask them questions. And, you know, I got pulled over after watching a Cowboys game. And I had 2 beers, legitimately, receipt in my pocket. 2 Coors Lights, which isn't even really beer. And I hardly ever drink beer, so beer, really, at the time, I don't drink anymore. But beer didn't really affect me. I drank whiskey and Jaeger. You know, everybody that we ended up choosing, you know, was like, one guy, I remember, we asked, you know, have you ever drank and watched football game? And then driven, he's like, well, yeah, about half the time I got to drive and go get more beer. So I was like, I want that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's this one lady, though, that was giving me the evil eye the whole time. So I'm pretty sure she's who held it up. And then I think everyone just wanted to go for the weekend. But like I was saying, I don't know what the fines normally are, but my fines in court costs were $75.
Oh, wow, nice.
So I think the judge kind of agreed it was bullshit.
The whole thing sounds nuts. Were you part of a large group of people being tried, or were they actually trying only your case for the DWI?
Anyone who fights it gets a jury trial, yeah.
You automatically get a jury trial.
And so if you fight any charge.
How many hours a day were you in court?
I was in there. It was for, I mean, including lunch and breaks, it was about 6 hours the first day and 2 hours the next day.
And presenting evidence and arguing a case, that's insane.
Interviewed the cop.
When I got called to Louisville jury duty, which they didn't pick me, it was over a traffic violation. But yeah, we were going to have to sit and fucking juror. Yeah.
Maybe I should have fought. I got a ticket for
it. I told you to fight it, and you refused.
Yeah.
That's what I tried to tell you. I said,
I got a ticket for driving past a school bus with its sign out.
I said, you go in front of the jury.
$900.
The sign wasn't out yet. The lights, though, were flashing.
Yeah.
But I told him if he went in front of a jury, I said the jury might side with him because they may not know that either.
And you don't know what kind of evidence there. Like, I would fight it.
Well, I saw the video. Because he did fight
it. I did fight it for a year.
Okay. But yeah, I would fight anything.
That's what I said. He has the kind of job that would let him off to fight it. So I was like, if you can get off fucking work to fight it, fucking fight it.
I got a $900 bonus like the week or two after I got the ticket. And I'm almost positive.
Because he told his boss about it.
I'm almost positive they gave me a bonus to pay the ticket.
That's nice. Well, the funny part is, you know, I got this breathalyzer on my car, but at the time I was working in Los Angeles 5 days a week. Like, I'd leave Dallas every Monday morning at like 5 a.m. and then I'd come back at like 5 p.m. on Friday. And because I was there so often and, you know, I'd worked up the levels at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, you know, I got a convertible Camaro that I could drive around, no problem, no breathalyzer, no nothing. The state was aware of that, or my probation officer was. They didn't care. They didn't give me like a portable breathalyzer on there, which I've heard now. I know somebody that got a DWI recently. Before you even go to trial, they stick a breathalyzer on your car. So, and it's $100 a month, roughly.
Damn.
You got to pay for the breathalyzer?
Yeah. You have to go have it read, and then you got to pay for it once a month, and you have to pay for the installation and for them to take it off.
The police have fucking such inflated budgets, and then they literally charge everyone for every little fucking thing.
Right.
And they don't fucking pay for shit. If they come into your house because they have the wrong address and they fuck your shit up, they fuck your shit up and they're gone.
And it's on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and it's like their budgets are astronomical.
Well, and that's everybody, you know, without getting too political, the whole defund the police, people think that means give the police zero money. The police have plenty of ways to get income.
Yeah.
And defunding them just means reducing the amount of state matching funds they get for all the tickets and all that bullshit to say, like, you know, education or healthcare or things that...
Things that actually keep people from committing crime.
You work in social work, you know, you deal with people that are on drugs. How many of those people have mental health issues? And if money was allocated to that rather than our governor, Captain Hot Wheels, you know, eliminating mental health.
That's so much of, like, what I do. Like, that's the whole point of Housing First, is the fact that they realize that just getting these people off the streets reduces the crime they commit, reduces the number of times they go to the emergency room. Literally, just putting them in a fucking home.
Right, because...
Like, do nothing else. Do nothing else. Yeah, and even if they don't reduce the amount of drugs they use, even if they don't reduce the amount of drinking they're doing, they don't reduce the amount of prostitutes they're sleeping with, literally just putting them in a home reduces their strain on the system.
Right. You're not exposed to the things. You know, I'm sitting in your house right now. If I was a drug addict out on the street... You start getting involved in high-risk behavior.
Right, it costs less to literally just have them inside a home than it does to have them in a shelter or on the street.
Yeah. So, you said you've been arrested 8 times, the one real time. Are you counting, say, your weekend stays? Or those?
No.
Okay, no. So 7 other times that are not real?
Yes, well, I had a job. It was my favorite job I ever had. I was in college. And I was a consultant for a security company, and I got paid to steal from stores.
Oh, fun.
So, like, I'd go to Walmart, and nobody knew we were there other than the store manager. And it was basically to test their security systems and their security guards. So I got 20% of whatever products I could get out the door.
Yeah.
So if I got caught by security, they would call the police. Legitimate police would show up and legitimately arrest us till they figured out what was going on. So I only got caught 6 or 7 times doing that. But, I mean, you take a flat screen TV, you take it out of the box, and then you jam it full of kids' clothes. I mean, think about it. Every shirt is $10. Yeah. And how many shirts can you get in a flat screen TV box? You know, and then, or you just put the flat screen TV on the bottom of the shopping cart, forget it's there. And especially with self-checkout, I mean, I'm not going to lie, to this day, I still snake things out of stores. I would never steal from a small business. I would never steal from a human being. But I have no issues stealing from a major corporation.
Oh, fucking box store? Fuck those people.
Yeah. I mean, I agree as well. It obviously hurts the small business owner more if you take a $2 item from them than it does if you take it from Walmart. The only qualm is that Walmart then takes that collective $2 that they lost.
Yeah,
from
but Walmart bakes that in.
I was going to say, Walmart's spill rate or whatever they call it is billions of dollars.
But they still then use that as an excuse also
to raise prices.
To raise prices, to cut wages, things like that. So, yes, they don't actually lose that money, but they do get an excuse out of that to fuck other people in other ways.
Well, and I understand that, but at the same time, you're going to work for the evil empire. I don't feel too sorry for you. Like I said, I'm not going to rob you in the parking lot. But, and I understand their circumstances. You know, people have to get jobs. But Walmart treats their employees like shit anyways. I mean, They've been sued for basically locking people in the stores to work on unpaid overtime. I mean, so fuck Walmart.
I worked at Walmart for 2 months when I was like 20 or something. And like, it was the worst place. And I just quit going in. And they did not notice for like 2 weeks that I just was not showing back up.
I, this week, stole about $80 worth of stuff from Walmart. I bought a $3 bag of Twizzlers. I ran everything else over the scanner upside down. There was two people standing right next to me that worked there. Nobody checked my receipt on the way out. I was having a problem with my bank account at the time. I had very little funds. Not of my own, because somebody ironically stole from me. But, like I said, I don't steal from people, and so I got what they were necessities. But as you know, necessities are expensive. Yeah. Like, toothpaste is like $7 a tube.
It is, yeah.
But the Twizzlers that make your teeth bad are only $3.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. You know.
Yeah.
No, it's a fucked up world we live in.
It is.
I saw something on Instagram the other day that was like, if you saw someone stealing food, no, you didn't.
Right, exactly. And that's, I will side with the, is it, you know, is it, what's the philosophical argument? Is it really stealing if you're stealing bread to feed your family? No, it's not.
Right.
And once again, you work in social work, and you know that people, there are circumstances.
Yeah.
And as long as you're not going to, you know, some co-op grocery store and stealing it, there's no problem.
Man, so I actually got into like a thing with like my boss's boss at my last job, because I had a client who, he had a friend who owned her own business, and she claimed that he had worked for her and she had laid him off during COVID so he could get unemployment. So he got unemployment benefits. Well, the thing is, like, he told us. And so it's like, okay, well, now you have to pay rent on these unemployment benefits. You know, like, once we know, we can't, whatever. So, but he did. Like, that was fine. He paid his rent on them. But the, like, director of the program was like, well, he's on unemployment, but he's never paid rent. And it's like, yeah, he's never worked, you know. Like,
right.
And so he was like, well, this is fraud. Like, we might have to report this. And I lost my fucking shit, because I was like, half the people on my caseload sell their food stamps, which is also fraud. But do I have to report
them? Which I've also bought stolen food, or somebody else's food stamps.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, and I'm like, do I have to report them? Because if you have zero income, but you get $250 a month in food stamps, like, yeah, that's great, but that doesn't buy your toilet paper or your toothpaste.
Right.
Yeah, you have to sell those food stamps to buy those other goddamn fucking necessities that you have to have in your fucking house. Like, I was just so mad. Like, I was like, we can't be reporting people for fraud. Yeah, because I'm like, we're social workers. Like, we're not the fucking police.
Right.
Like, this is not what we do. And I was so mad. And like, and eventually, like, I didn't, it came to nothing. They never even brought it up again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just was livid. I was so livid to think that I might have to report someone for fraud. I was like, you are fucking kidding me. I would have got him quit over it, which I did eventually quit that job because the job sucked, but I would have quit over it. Like, I was like, I'm not attesting to this guy doing any kind of fucking fraud. This is bullshit. I'm not a goddamn cop.
And that's why I do look very highly on social workers and people that help I'm not even going to say the poor, the underclass that are, once again, not to get too political, but they're there and they're stuck for a reason. And although, you know, everyone says America's land of opportunity, there's systemic things in place to keep people there. And people doing what they need to do, selling their food stamps to get toilet paper.
Right. Or claiming fucking unemployment even though they didn't work. Yeah, who fucking cares? My taxes didn't go up because of it.
I mean, what is it? If we had universal health care, I think I just read that every American that pays taxes, the average, your taxes would go up like It was less than 20 cents. It was like 16 cents a year, yeah. And everybody would have free health care.
Yeah.
Us currently funding welfare costs less than a penny a year.
Right.
And those people still get nothing.
Right.
And so those people, I would love to.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be virtually impossible these days because it gets shut down real quick. But I'd love to show those people how to go in and steal from those places.
Right.
And I'd do it for free.
I had a client on welfare because she had a one-year-old son, and she got $260 a month. And it's like, what does that buy? Because it doesn't buy enough to take care of all.
Well, it's like Steve Mnuchin, the head of the Treasury under Trump, when we got $1,500 from the government during COVID, and he said that should last people 3 months.
Right.
Like,
it's like, okay, well, that pays 1 month of rent or mortgage, maybe.
Right, unless you live in a, you know, crack house in Ohio, it might pay for 2 months. But then you're not getting food or gas to get in your car. Like, we live in Dallas, which has no public transportation. You need a car if you're going to work here.
Right.
Because otherwise you're paying for Uber or something like that to take you to work every day.
Transportation is tough around here. And, like,
Arlington is the biggest city in America
transportation.
With no public transportation.
Yeah. And, like, rent right now. So, like, I'm in housing, and so, like, HUD caps you. So, you know, we're all HUD funded. And so HUD caps how much we can pay. And right now, in the city of Dallas, HUD says we can pay $1,360 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. And let me tell you, HUD caps it at, like, what will keep you in bad neighborhoods.
Right, and that's, like I said, you're keeping the underclass the underclass. Right now,
$1,360 a month. $1,360 a month will get you a bad neighborhood in Dallas.
And right now, I mean, I'm looking for an apartment, and I am between, I do a lot of contract work, and right now I'm between contracts, and to live by my kids' school, you know, so that I can take them half the time. The cheapest apartment I've seen, and I've given up looking for three bedrooms. I have two kids.
Yeah.
You know, looking for a two-bedroom place is close to $3,000.
Right.
Now, the average, to be in the top 1% in America, you only need to make $60,000. So how many people make less than that? So let's just say it's $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 a year. But then let's look at, you have to furnish that place. You have to put food in that place. Yeah. You have to pay your electricity bills, your water bills. Things that,
and I will say that
on a failing electricity grid in this country, and like let's say I was born and grew up in the Detroit area. You know, you live in Flint, Michigan. You're paying for water that's essentially lead,
right?
You know, and they're not. Don't be fooled. That's not the only place that's that bad. They just, you know, Michael Moore's good at pointing things out.
Yeah, no, and HUD. I will say this: the 360. It does have to be all bills paid. If it's not all bills paid, we have to come. It has to come in.
Then you're definitely in the ghetto if that is what is.
Yeah.
Because
so
those apartments aren't paying that for free out of the kindness of their hearts. That that money is coming out of that $1,360.
Right.
You know, and electricity here, because we are not part of the national grid. It's privatized.
It's outrageously expensive.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Before moving out, I had a, I don't know, probably 1,200 square foot condo, and our electricity bill would hit like $600 in the summer.
Shit.
And I think that was also part of just a faulty system, but still, that's what we had to pay. There's
no, ours is like $300 in the summer.
I mean, I would say we actually live uncomfortably cold in the winter.
Well, and that's
and we live uncomfortably warm in the summer, and it still hits like $300.
That's what we did, and then, you know, water for, at the time, four people taking showers and doing laundry once a week, but four people's worth of clothes, and it's kids, and clothes get dirty, and sometimes you got to run them through twice. We'd have water bills that almost hit $100.
Yeah, our water bill's $100 a month.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous.
It ranges anywhere from, yeah, like 90 to 115.
Yeah, so I've seen like a billion of these like little, not a billion, I've seen a few of these little studies where they like take people that don't have to live in this like heavily budgeted lifestyle, and they make them like run through like simulated programs of like, how would you stretch out this $1,000 for a whole month and feed you and your spouse and your one child, and here's all the things you have to get. And then, yeah, like makes these people break down.
Yeah, there's no way in hell.
Yeah, they put them through these simulations. They can't, like, they start to feel the same, yeah, trapped feeling and, yeah, anxiety that the people that live that way go through.
I just read an article. They do a study every year, like in the last week of the year, how many people, you know, have, and it's from Duke University, so it's reputable. It's not from Fox News or CNN. You know, 1 in 3 Americans now in 2022 suffer from severe anxiety or depression because of things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, these rich people can't even go through a simulator without breaking down. Yeah. This is every day. You wake up, you can't sleep, which it all loops around to healthcare. And, you know, why I don't feel bad about stealing from major corporations. And if I could steal from the government, you know, I think everybody should have a tax attorney, because whatever you're going to pay them to do your taxes for a year, to get your taxes as close to zero as possible, is going to be more than you'd end up paying. The government's the biggest criminals out there. I mean, if you want...
If I can get them to sit down with me,
exactly.
I totally
Maybe you can get McCarthy.
Yeah, right?
So, arrests, guys. Okay, so, yeah, that sounded fun, obviously, like getting paid to steal. And
that sounds super
fun. It sounds like a blast.
It was the best job I've ever had.
Yeah.
So,
one thing about it, though, like, how did you get that job?
I applied for it. It was one of the... It was a security consulting company. I didn't know what it would be.
Like CIA watching you on a security camera, and they were like, he's pretty good at stealing.
No, I honestly, like, had never really stolen anything before that. I mean...
So what's that interview process like, then? How do they know you're going to be any good at it?
They give you a couple test runs.
Oh,
what's the biggest thing you've ever stolen? Not most expensive, size.
Size-wise? 70-inch flat-screen TV.
Just straight out the door?
It wouldn't fit on the bottom of the cart. And I just, it was at Target, and I just set it on top. Because they were like, do you want us to take this to the front? And this is before you had to pay for things. Yeah. This is early 2000s. Yeah. It was the biggest TV that existed at that point. I just set it on top of the cart and just walked out of the store. And you can tell where the security things are.
Yeah.
And the great thing about cell phones is a lot of those, the detectors that set off the security alarms by the door, if you just have your NFC beam on your phone, it'll deactivate those. So if you just hold your phone next to where that's at, it's not going to set off the alarm.
So what was the protocol? So let's say you got through, then you did what? You took it to
There was a guy that sat outside, and we would load it all into a van, so that gave them additional time to try and catch us, and then we would basically go drive away and come back an hour later, and then we would sit down with the security guard that's watching, you know, the eyes in the skies,
and
the assistant managers, and we'd say, this is how we did it, this is where your blind spots are.
You guys were like the Impractical Jokers.
We were, exactly, and it was a lot of fun, and, you know, we did it, because they have to switch people out, obviously, because... You know,
they recognize you.
It was hard for me to go shop at certain stores after doing that.
I imagine.
Me and my best friend, the guy who was eventually the best man at my wedding, like, we did it together, and we knew for a fact, because someone we knew became a manager there at the Target where I went to college in that city. We were not allowed in the store.
When you said that it was hard for you to go shop in stores after that, my thought was it was hard mentally for you to go shop in stores because you wanted to steal.
Like I said, I'm not going to lie to you. You are right. Still to this day, like I said, like in the past couple days, like, but it's not like I feel like I have to. If I have the money, I'll pay for it. Everybody always forgets something in their cart.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to us all the time.
Right.
We have 5 cats. Obviously, we buy big bags of litter and cat food, and those things often sit on top of a package.
Right. or you throw it on the bottom of the cart, you're in a hurry, and you forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, that happens. But it's not like if I am gainfully employed and it's not like I've got to steal something every time. I don't have like this kleptomania, like residual kleptomania or anything like that.
But you see the blind spot, it's hard not to take advantage of it.
Exactly. And I still think about it every time I see a blind spot.
Yeah.
I notice when I see other people doing it.
So I'm supposed to go on this podcast called Presenting Nicolas Cage. I don't think it's out yet.
The greatest actor in the history of acting.
I do believe that's why he's putting together the podcast, because he agrees with that statement. But anyway, I'm supposed to discuss the movie Trapped in Paradise, which is about Nicolas Cage and his two brothers, John Lovitz and Dana Carvey.
Getting snowed in that city.
In that city.
Why? Hold on. How are they brothers, though? I don't know if I can get past
that. They all have the same mom and dad, obviously.
So when a mommy and a daddy love each other.
I mean, though, John Lovitz and Nicolas Cage, come on.
So, didn't you see Twins?
I guess I did see Twins. Okay. I mean, I love
sometimes them. You get the leftover semen.
So, anyways, yes, they're trapped in the city. Or this town. The brother lured Nicolas Cage there, though, because he's gone straight. He used to be more corrupt like them. They're still petty criminals.
And ooh, I bet John Lovitz rubs his hands together a lot.
I'm sure he does. I haven't seen the movie in a lot of
years. I was say, I think I saw that in the theater when it came out.
I got to rewatch it for this podcast, so we'll check it out.
Well, I buy a lot of plants. I don't know if you know.
I can see you looking around here.
And like,
but no, I'm not going to steal any of them.
Well, every once in a while, I'm able to steal a plant. Like, every once in a while, I don't notice, and a barcode doesn't ring. Or even, like, I'll go through, like, I buy a lot of my plants at Lowe's, and you go through the person, but they'll, like, miscount.
Because you get a bunch of plants, a bunch of leaves all bunched together. And right. It looks like seven plants, sometimes looks like six plants or five.
Yeah,
plants.
They'll fuck shit up, and, like, every time I, like, get out with a plant they didn't pay for, I feel really good about it. I'm like, because plants are expensive.
Right, and then you look at it, like, you spent $50 on one, you didn't get charged for the other. You had two plants for $25.
Fuck yeah,
yeah. The only place that I can say that has made major changes over the past few years is Costco. There are people at the door, look at your receipt, and they count every item on the receipt and every item in the cart, and then they spot check what it actually is. And that's the only place I've noticed they actually do that.
I think Sam's Club did that.
Yeah, my last job.
I don't have a membership there. They might do that as well.
At my last job, I got like a discounted Sam's Club membership. So I got it. And yeah, they do that too. They count. They scan. Yeah.
So back to Trapped in Paradise.
Yes. Yes, I was wondering where you're going with that.
They bring Nicolas Cage back to this town. And they're like, he knows they're trying to get him to like rob this bank or whatever. And he's like, you idiots, I'm not going to do this. Stop fucking around. But he goes into, they get him to go to the bank anyways. And he like, the security guard's asleep. And the cameras aren't even plugged in. And you can see, I mean, like the vault's just open. And like there's nobody looking at, you know, like every possible like thing that could, like, it's just too tempting. He's like, okay, we're going to rob this bank.
Right.
He just can't help, you know. He sees all the blind spots. He's been in this business his whole life. Now this is the perfect place to rob.
Well, that's, you can always tell. Because, so, and I mainly focus on Walmart and Target because they're really the easiest to steal from, in my opinion. Best Buy's pretty easy, too. But not all of their cameras work. Because they would have to have some CIA level room full of screens to monitor. But you can usually tell which ones do because there'll be a red light you can see.
Yeah.
Or you can see the camera move in the bubble. But you can usually find the pattern. You know, let's say there's eight in a square and really only, you know, the one in the lower left is on. The rest of them aren't. And you can tell. You can figure out where the blind spots are real easy.
Nice.
And sometimes you can even see them unplugged. And, like, in the makeup section at...
God, that's what I was thinking. My mind already went...
Where they have the cameras right on the makeup.
I love makeup.
The makeup ones? If you just go to the aisle behind it, you can move the cameras and they won't see you do it. You just reach over the top of the shelf and move them and it'll face the ceiling. And I don't know that anybody is watching those or notices because,
right.
And also you could move it and then
they won't see who moved it, so it'll take them a minute.
Spitballing here, but yeah, if you move it, if there was an issue, within a few minutes you should see a security guard or someone that works there come move it back.
Right.
So if you were to move it, go walk around and shop, and then go back and it's still wrong, you know you've got an automatic blind spot there.
Yeah.
That's expensive, so that's why people tune in to figure out how to rob stores.
Yeah.
No. So, what?
Not gonna lie, like so Target is where I shop. And I try not to buy a lot of cheap makeup, but I do sometimes buy like some of their cheap stuff, especially like
she
lipsticks and nail polish.
Ooh.
I do not.
Fancy.
I don't know. But especially like nail polishes and lipsticks. So, man. Things that I want like a lot of.
Yeah, turn the camera around.
Camera, $25 lipstick. I want like 15 of them.
It's funny though with my kids though, because one time I legitimately accidentally didn't pay, like you said, for kitty litter. Because it was below the cart.
Yeah.
And they noticed it. So every time we shop, I give them this big lecture about how it's very important to make sure your cart is full and all that. And obviously they're little, they don't know that.
Yeah.
This is what I've done, still sometimes do, but...
You can teach them those, you know, that it's all right later on.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Our kids, we could tell them any of these stories right in front of them, it's fine. They're big and they get that morals have lots of gray area.
But they're also good kids who aren't going to go out and intentionally do a lot of bad shit.
Right, and that's... I'm not spiritual or religious in any way, but, you know, that kind of sense of karma, like, is it going to bite you in the ass? But hasn't yet, so.
Yeah.
So, aside from stealing, have you done all the drugs?
Yes.
All of them?
Do you want to go down the list?
And I can. Drug.
See, and this is why I wanted my voice changed for this. My favorite drug.
Opiates?
Yeah, I mean, I like opiates, but I'd take mushrooms over opiates. I'd take cocaine over opiates. Growing up, you know, like, my favorite book is On the Road, and, like, the whole dramatization of, you know, or not dramatization, but glorification of, you know, just going across the country, free will, no rules, that, and then, you know, Hunter S. Thompson and all that. There's a NoFX song, and one of the lines in it, and I've even talked to my therapist about this, and he's a 7-year-old guy that just retired, agrees with this. Drug use is not abuse.
Yeah.
If you have an addictive personality, yes, drugs can ruin your life. Even if you don't, they can ruin your life. If you get caught with certain drugs, you're going to prison for a long time, especially in Texas. You get caught with a gram of weed, you're going to prison. It's stupid, because an hour and a half north of here, you can go buy it all you want.
Yeah.
But no, like, so, cocaine's fun. Everything they told you in DARE for people that are in the age range of, what, about 45 years old or younger now, when the war on drugs started, when Richard Nixon started the DEA, and then it's technically the longest war we've ever been a part of, and we've been losing it since, like, 2 days before they started. Everything they told you in DARE about how good drugs will make you feel is absolutely true. And I think as we got older and they continue to do DARE every year, and then you get to that age where you're like, you can start getting your hands on stuff. Oddly enough, I didn't drink till right before I was 21, but I'd already done drugs before that.
When did you start using drugs?
When I was about 18, when I was in college. I was an athlete, and so I really didn't do anything. Well, I could take that back. I mean, if you count, like, HGH and steroids, I did those in high school.
But you started with weed, right? It's a gateway drug.
No, the first drug I ever tried was coke. The first drug, well, after steroids, the first drug I ever took was coke, because I had an Adderall prescription, but Adderall, when you need it, doesn't make you amped up. So someone was like, try this. So I was like, okay. And so I'd use it to study. Like, it was kind of innocent and dorky in a way.
Have you done meth?
Yes.
Did you, so do you, did you, do you prefer coke over meth?
Definitely. Meth is like this weird, dirty, feels like you have battery acid pouring into your head.
Yeah, meth is dirty, but meth definitely, like, I think is more amped up.
Oh, definitely. And I have anxiety, and none of those things help it.
Yeah.
But I don't like how meth, it's like that dirty high. And yes, I've smoked crack once, and...
I always wonder if that's like, is it really that much different than cocaine? I mean, it's cocaine.
It hits you different, and it's a little more relaxing. It doesn't last very long at all.
Oh.
But is it that different? No.
Okay.
But you also, like, I've never smoked cocaine.
Right.
I've never injected anything.
Okay.
When I was in LA, I used to hang out with Lemmy from Motorhead, like at his house, and he did a shit ton of speed and exactly as of a few days ago. December 28th was the anniversary of that. Actually, I have a tattoo for him, but his whole rule was don't touch heroin, don't inject anything. But I've watched him do just about everything else.
Yeah, I don't think I can inject anything. I hate needles. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
I smoked weed, of course. I'm actually allergic to weed now. Like one out of every million people are. And it just came out of nowhere 12 years ago. Just like anaphylactic shock, the whole thing.
Wow.
And then I tried it two more times after that just to make sure. Because I was never really big into weed. I was never really big into anything. I would like to do cocaine when I went out for a while when I was younger. I haven't touched a drug in probably, I don't know, at least 10 years.
Mm.
I think I did cocaine at a bachelor party, like one tiny little bit. I just like it because it's fun. It makes you feel great. It lasts a while. Stay up, hang out, have fun. It counteracts downers too. So like if you're drinking, you're up and you can still drink.
Yeah.
It does enhance certain feelings. Like if you're having sex, it feels better when you're on coke.
So that's why people tune in to find out why they should do drugs.
How does coke? You can last longer in bed. It feels better.
You can last longer in bed unless you do too much coke, then you don't get to do it.
Right, then you don't get to do it at all. It's about that finding that happy medium. And I only
have coke, but watch your intake.
Don't snort meth, because it's like snorting glass.
It's probably has glass in it, anyways.
Right, I mean it's freaking kitchen chemicals.
Right.
I accidentally. I'm pretty sure, I was told it was opium after the fact, but I'm pretty sure it was heroin, that I smoked some weed with heroin in it. I was working as a bartender and literally moving in slow motion. I thought I was working so fast, but me and it was also the guy that I worked with doing the security thing. We were in slow motion to where he made us go home.
Aww.
What's the craziest, like, manufactured, like, device that you've, like, taken drugs out of? So, like, obviously, like, people, like, will smoke weed out of an apple or something like that.
Right.
But I have definitely, I know you can smoke meth out of a light bulb. You, like, bust the back of the
right
out with, like,
I was going to say, I've done the light bulb trick with meth. I'm trying to think. Probably that, because I didn't know about that until somebody did it.
Yeah.
Because it's any curved glass surface, I guess you could.
But the weird thing is, like, the light bulb, you pour salt inside it, and then you shake that up, and that salt cleans out the light bulb. It's, like, insane. I'm like, how do these people figure this stuff out? You know?
I mean, people who do meth can be very bright. It's weird. It's almost like a nerdy person to drug.
It is. It's for poor nerdy people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it really like is. Poor, like, nerdy high school dropouts.
Yes.
Like, the high school dropouts who you're like, you should not have dropped out of school because, like, you could have fucking rocked that shit. Yeah. Yeah. They all do meth. Because, yeah, they can do those, like, weird nerdy things.
And even though I've done all this stuff, like those meth before and after pictures have always, like, really freaked me out. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of my teeth. Like, I think they're nice. And... So, like, that's
This is my strong point.
Other than I don't want to, like, be addicted to anything like that. I mean, I take medication. I took hydrocodone for years for various problems that I legitimately needed it for, and then the government changed the rules. And so now I can't get it, so I have to buy. I use Kratom, an over-the-counter, stronger herbal painkiller. I think it's actually made out of, like, dandelions. But I don't use it constantly. And I know there's some that lift you up, some that brings you down. Hallucinogens are a lot of fun.
Have you done any of the weird shit? Like, I don't know how some of this stuff works, but apparently you can, like, chug NyQuil or something. Or
Robo-tripping.
Robo-tripping.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that actually work?
Yes. Huh? You put about... to, I mean, it depends on your tolerance, I guess, but pour Robitussin into a glass, fill it up with... stir it up, chug it.
Ugh, yeah. I don't know if I can do it.
I think I'll delete out the, or at least bleep over the recipe there. But
okay. But yeah, you, because it's more of a, I feel like it's like a waking dream at that point because you're fighting to stay awake.
Oh, that's why I love Xanax.
There you go, see?
Yeah, same thing. That's what makes Xanax so fun.
Let me ask you this then. When you were like 12, did you and your friends ever... out to go through that, like, trippy head?
No. I had friends that did that, and that always freaked me out. Like, because I watched some movie. It was, like, an HBO after-school special, I remember.
When someone died, or they...
Yeah, someone died.
What is this thing? These guys are weird.
Until right after they, like... And then you let go, and supposedly, you know...
Little kids were doing this to each other?
Yeah, it was the 80s. What else were we doing?
I was a little kid in the 80s. I was not doing
this. You were a nerd. Were you doing meth? Nerd?
You sit around with your friends, and so you'll sit, like, it'll be your turn, and you'll just take a bunch of deep breaths over and over and over again until you start to get lightheaded, and then one of them will walk up, and they'll start... You'll take a big breath, they'll go over... And it takes about a few seconds, and then all of a sudden, you're like... Just fall out.
Yeah, you basically... And then when the is back to your... I mean, it's all science. I look at a lot of drugs scientifically, but yeah. No, I had that HBO special. Same thing. I don't do guns because there was an HBO after-school special. I don't know why my parents let me watch HBO all the time. But even though I wasn't allowed to watch an R-rated movie till I was like... I got to see Terminator 2, so I was like 10, but then I... wasn't allowed to watch anything until, like, I could drive myself to the
theater to see it.
Wasn't allowed to have music with swearing on it. Aww. And my parents are as open-minded as you can be. I don't know what the deal was with that. But there was an HBO thing where the kids find a gun under their dad's bed and, you know, are playing with it, and one brother shoots the other.
I remember that.
And that is, like, still, I don't mess with guns.
So. Yeah.
I'm not anti-gun. I have my own... I'm not going to make this into a political show, but everybody should be allowed to have two guns, a handgun and a hunting gun, and I think that's plenty.
I mean, I, like, touched... So I grew up on a farm. I want to say that. I grew up on a farm.
That's why you didn't know how to... your friends to get out.
I guess.
It's a city thing.
It was my grandpa's farm. He had guns. He always had guns. He never shot any. Well, he hunted squirrel, which always grossed me out because he would eat them. It's gross to me.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
But he would shoot, like, at coyotes, at stray dogs, but he wouldn't shoot them. Like, you know, he could hit a squirrel, so he could hit a fucking coyote if he wanted.
Right.
But he would just, like, scare them off because we had chickens. But I had never actually, like, touched a gun till I was like 30.
So yeah.
And it was like my friend's husband's gun. And then he later used a gun to shoot himself in the head.
See, and that's with my mental issues, and I've been in some dark places. That's why I don't need a gun. I don't want a gun. I don't like other people having guns around. I've held a gun. I've shot a gun. But I've
Never,
like...
touched.
I think I said I hadn't shot a gun. I have shot a gun when I was in college.
So this would freak you out. No.
Honestly, if you... No, it wouldn't. I know you're responsible. But like one of my...
Oh, we don't have it.
It was part of a really weird drug deal where I had to hold a gun not at somebody, where it was just like they were driving and were like, hold this. We were trying to take a bunch of ecstasy from two different cities about an hour and a half in college to sell, and it ended up being like a robbery. We were supposed to meet one of those self-serve gas car wash things, and they were supposed to pull into the one next to us, but they came over with a bunch of guns, so we booked it out of there. And I didn't know that that's what it was till we were like pulling into this car wash in Waco in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, like I have intrusive thoughts, and so it's like I 100% do not trust myself with a gun.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way.
Like, I'm literally like one intrusive thought away from like blowing off like my head or anyone else's head. I don't know.
See, I don't think I could ever shoot someone else. Almost positive I could shoot myself.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to get to all of your crimes because we've barely scratched the surface.
As I say, I can always come back for round two.
I'm not saying we have to wrap up or anything. We're just casually talking and we got to you being in a drug deal with guns and shit. And like we're not even two. Like, you're just telling a story.
Yeah, and I've got plenty, especially... Those drug years were weird. I'll save the rest of that one for maybe a part two. Not maybe, definitely. I'd love to do another part two. Because it's also, this is like therapy, even though like my therapist is the only person I've told most of this to.
A lot of people have said that. A lot of people have come on the show and actually said that, yeah. I mean, realistically, like aside from the fact that I thought it was a good idea to have a show where we just kind of normalize the fact that everybody has done something... it's good to break down those barriers of like criminality and like it's therapeutic.
Yeah, I've got more drug stories. I was a model in my younger years and I got propositioned to do a porn movie and I didn't know it till I was standing there being asked to take my pants off. That's a good one. by a guy that eventually got arrested. But yeah, if you guys want to have me back, if this was sufficient, I was kind of nervous it wouldn't be, but
no, I'm sure this is fine. I mean, yeah. We'd definitely bring you back on for sure. If you, I went through the general topics, just some of them. I asked a lot of questions and I didn't even get to half of them. So
yeah, I'm glad to come back and you can ask me the rest of them. And I'm an open book. I don't have anything to hide, especially given some life circumstances right now. I don't have anything to hide from anybody, so.
Though we are disguising your voice. I'd say that's good for round one.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for coming.
And we're back. All right. So, yeah, that was our guest. Either Punch Out or Contra, I'm not sure. I'll figure that out in the by the time I post this. Yeah, in the editing. And who knows? I hope that wasn't too much of a bunch of side tangents, because I know we strayed off topic, and I surely have not edited out all of that side stray stuff. But, you know.
I have to say, I'm jealous of him having that job where he got to steal stuff. That sounds fun as hell.
It did sound fun as hell. Yeah. I mean, we talked to one guy who got to be part of a 2-week trial where he just got high for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some fun stuff you can get involved at there.
Canada.
Yeah. There should just be a website, though, where you could just be like funjobs.com.
Yeah. People just compile them.
Yeah,
no, that would be fun. I don't know what it is about stealing that's fun, but something about it's fun. That's why I did it so much as a teenager.
Yeah, I've told it stories of when I used to shoplift. I'll tell you one thing, like, me and my cousin used to shoplift a lot when we were kids, and we used to basically kind of it was like a competition. We tried to outdo each other. We'd both go into a store, and then we'd come out, and then I'd be like, oh, look at this, I got fucking 6 candy bars, and he'd be like, fucking, I got like 17 bags of M&Ms.
Did you ever, like, buy stuff and pretend you had shoplifted it?
No.
Like, look at this, I got this 2-liter and this other big thing that you paid for.
I do remember one time, like, I had, and this was stealing from Blockbuster. I stole some of their candy that they keep over the counter. Mm-hmm. And they sell, like, box candy, like, yeah, you get the movie theater. And I stole 2 boxes of Snickers. Like, they have, I guess they're full candy bars inside, like maybe 6 in a row. I don't know. I don't remember what's inside the actual box of Snickers.
They're probably like mini. 6 in a row is so big.
Yeah, so maybe it was a bunch of mini Snickers. I can't quite remember. But I was wearing an old, like a Baja, because like people, you know, like a poncho, because they were, like everybody was wearing, I don't want to say they were cool. You're already giving me a look like they were not cool. People were wearing them. I had one. If they were cool or not, people can make up their own mind. But I had one. Lots of people wore them. Me and my cousin each had one. And I remember coming out and we got back to the car and I was like, aha! And I shook out my sleeve and a box of Snickers like shook out. And then I was like, I did like a finger up, like, oh, one more. And then I shook out my other sleeve and the Snicker box fell out.
So you have a Blockbuster out of business.
Yeah. It was the last Blockbuster, too.
Yeah, Netflix gets all the blame, but it was you with your Snickers theft.
I also put him out of business when I signed up for Netflix in the early days and told everybody about it.
Yeah.
But
creating that queue was fun.
It was.
I missed that, I guess.
I knew someone that signed up for the Blockbuster version of that, but Netflix started streaming.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that was our guest. I hope you liked it. Make sure you like, subscribe, check boxes, everything else you got to do. You know, all the things that you're supposed to say here at the end. You know, share, tell people. These cats.
They're playing.
But yeah, tell people. First rule of true criminals is talk about true criminals.
I think someone's about to get her. She ran away. Oh, Nia Simone doesn't know she's gone yet.
Play by play of the cats. The cats are chasing each other over and around our bed. I guess they like they like the new bed cover.
The new duvet.
So yeah, I hope you like the show. Once again, share, tell people. We will be having some other stuff come out here soon. And yeah, we do have, if you've checked out our episode on YouTube, Scotty and I recorded a thing called The Movies We Don't Deserve. We released one episode of that a couple months ago. We recorded another episode, an actually really good episode that I just haven't got around to editing. Like I said, a lot of stuff came up here toward the end of 2022 that just slowed up a lot of my process. So, but yeah, I have all that ready to go. I'll try to have that up here in the next week. So check out my YouTube channel. That's where it's all at right now. But
what's your YouTube channel?
It's Eric Bookout. Yeah, just search Eric Bookout on YouTube. I got this really great video of a painting I made that cries. And we have this video that Scotty made called Speed Force Experiment, where he misuses a flash ring to try to run through the Speed Force. Very fun stuff. So check all that out as well. All right, until next time, I'm Eric.
I'm Rachel.
And this was True Criminals.
Hold on, how are they brothers, though? I don't know if I can get past that.
They all have the same mom and dad, obviously.
So when a mommy and a daddy love each other. My blood alcohol level was 0.42, which would obviously make you dead. And a guy literally came in for straight up murder, and they just threw him in with everybody else. And I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in here. And I got paid to steal from stores.
Oh, fun. You guys were like the Impractical Jokers.
We were.
So, back to Trapped in Paradise.
Yes, I was wondering where you're going with that.